AI are operate again. They're very intelligent, but their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Materialistic scientists example. And the fourth kind was Asuram Bhavam Asrita. They accept demoniac nature. So these were classified into three kinds: atheists, out and out atheists, also those who worship the impersonal as the highest. They say higher than God is impersonal, Brahman. And they're also classed under this category are people who worship incarnations who are not really God, but they think they're God, like some man who they elevate to the position of God. And today's class is the four kind of pious people. So I'll read the verse. Chaturvida pachante mam. Chaturvida pachante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyasur artarti. Arto jikyasur artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. Jnani cha paratarshava. Chaturvida bhajante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyasur artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. So you have to learn this for Bhakti Shastri. It's one of the ones you have to learn. Chaturvida bhajante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyaso artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. Chaturvida bhajante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyaso artarti. Arto jikyasur artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. Chaturvida bhajante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyasa artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. We're reading chapter 7, text 16. You can take a cushion to sit on. Plenty of cushions. So this verse is about four kinds of pious people. You want to try the verse? Chaturvida bhajante mam. Jana sukriti narjana. Jana sukriti narjana. Arto jikyaso artarti. Jnani cha paratarshava. Chaturvida. Four kinds of. Bhajante. Render services. Mam. Unto me. Krishna speaking. Jana. Persons. Sukritina, those who are pious. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Arta, the distressed. Jigyasu, the inquisitive. That's people who ask questions. Arta arti, one who desires material gain. Jnani, one who knows things as they are. Cha, also. Bharata, Rishabha. O great one among the descendants of Bharat. Translation: O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Please repeat after me. O best among the Bharatas. Four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport: unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called Sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men: those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 defines pure devotional service thus. This is also a verse you have to learn from Bhakti Shastri. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. Do you want to repeat it? Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma di anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. Translation: one should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress and, at that time, associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service. And thus, transcendental knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the personalized Paramatma. No, I'm not saying it right. And they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service. And thus, transcendental knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the Absolute and the localized Paramatma, and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. Om Agyanatiranda Shakyananjala Shalaka Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Shri Taitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaisnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sakana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sri Visakam Mitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Very famous verse 7:16. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti narjana arto jigyaso artarti jnani cha partarshaba. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So Krishna and Arjuna are on the battlefield. It's just before the battle starts, and Krishna is giving all this knowledge to Arjuna. In this chapter, he's telling him the knowledge of the Absolute. Yesterday, he was describing the four kinds of people who never surrender to Krishna. And today, he's describing the four kinds who do surrender, the pious, the four kinds of pious people. So yesterday, I forgot the name. Manasiganga. So yesterday Manasiganga was telling us the four kinds of impious people. The mudhas, the foolish people who just work like an ass just to get material gain. Then there was the Naradama, the lowest among mankind. Those people could be socially or politically advanced, but they don't follow any religious principles. Then there's the Mayaya Aparita Gyan, intelligent people, example scientists or philosophers, but their knowledge is stolen by illusion. And the fourth kind was the Asuras, Asuram Bhavam Asrita, people who accept demoniac nature in three ways. Either they're atheists, or they think that the impersonal is absolute, or they think that some incarnation or some regular ordinary person, they elevate him to incarnation. So sometimes we think those people out there are the miscreants and we're angels. But actually, some of this is also in us. Sometimes we are also working like crazy to get material gain. Sometimes we are also not interested in following religious principles. Sometimes we are also having our knowledge stolen by illusion. Yes? Like, they are very intelligent, but what did they use their intelligence for? someone could be very intelligent but use his intelligence to rob a bank or to commit a crime or to make an atomic bomb to use for mass destruction. Probably he didn't create it for that, but he probably created it thinking he was doing the right thing. But what they use it for is that they make some nice things and then use them for the wrong reason. So sometimes we also do that. And accepting demoniac natures, sometimes we also do that. So that was yesterday, and today it's the four kinds of pious people. So we may have, there's two kinds of people that come to ISKCON, those who have been pious in their previous life, and the mercy cases. So sometimes we're mercy cases. Some of us are mercy cases. Actually, we didn't do anything good. We just got the mercy of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, who took the trouble to come to all these foreign countries to preach to us. When I met the pure devotees, it took me 20 years to actually join ISKCON. I got the Maha Mantra, I got it in a song, I got it on a card, I got prasadam, I was offered a book, I refused everything. I took the prasadam, that was quite nice. But I had lots of chances, but it took about 20 years before eventually I thought, maybe I should try something. So this could be that I'm also a mercy case. So four kinds of pious men. One is distressed. When you go into the hospital, you see that they have a chapel. Most churches are practically empty. If you've ever been in this church here near us, I went in one day, they were having a service and there were about 3.5 people in there. It's not much for a big church like that. But if you go to the hospital, they have a little chapel and the whole book is full. Please, God, make my grandmother better. Or they're asking people to pray for one of their family members. So they're distressed and then they turn to God. So this is considered pious because at least they thought of God. And then the desirer of wealth. So this could be someone who's had some bad luck with money. Then they pray to God, oh God, help me out of this condition. When people are in distress, all of a sudden they remember to fold their hands and say, please God, help me. And they do it sometimes sincerely. They're really praying to God. And then we have the inquisitive. He's asking questions. And then the jnani is actually searching. The jnani knows about the difference between matter and spirit. And he's asking, sometimes he asks about the absolute truth. What would be the absolute truth? So Krishna is calling Arjuna Bharata Rishabha, a great one among the descendants of Bharat. So these four kinds of pious men are called Sukritina. They have some Sukriti. So what they do is they obey rules and regulations of scriptures. So the rules and regulations that we have in ISKCON, it's actually quite amazing that people who start off following no principles actually agree to follow four principles. When I heard about them, I thought it was one too many. I did a tour. I was a visitor to Radhadesh, a tourist. And when we were on the roof, the boy who was giving the tour, he told us that they follow four principles. And he told what the four principles were. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. And I was thinking, I could go along with the first three. I was thinking, I could agree with that in theory. But the fourth one, I couldn't agree with that. So we have these four principles, and then we have another one is that we chant Hare Krishna. And this is what makes it possible to be pious at all. Now in India, you have people who are following four principles since birth. Then they join ISKCON when they're teenagers. I said to one brahmachari, oh, in the West we have trouble with the fourth principle. And he said, which one's that? He couldn't even guess which one that was difficult. He had never broken any of the principles. Which one's that? They don't have girlfriends before they get married, so... So we have other principles like getting up early in the morning and doing some spiritual activities like Mangal Arati, Puja, or dressing the deities. These are all regulated rules and regulations. So people come to Krishna and they ask different things, they pray, they chant, they... and when they're in a distress condition, they're praying to God. And then when the distress is over, some people continue praying and some then forget about God. When the grandmother is better, or the difficult situation has gone, or they got the money, or whatever it was they were praying for, then sometimes they forget to pray. Forget about God again. Dear God, please give us our daily bread. Then when you get the bread, then forget about him. So actually sometimes having some problems is a good idea, a good thing, because at least it makes you remember. Even Queen Kunti was saying, they went through so many difficulties, and she was saying, if it helps me to remember you, then let these problems come all over again. She lost her husband at a very young age. She had to raise 5 children on her own. And she was living in the same palace as people who were trying to kill them, who were openly nasty to them. Built a nice holiday house that was made of wax and then set it on fire. They insulted the wife of the Pandavas. They did so many, they stole their whole kingdom. And then when they had to divide the kingdom in half, eventually at a settlement, they gave them the rubbish part of the rubbish half, an uninhabitable forest, which by some magic they turned into a very nice place. Then this was also stolen from them. They stole all their wealth, all their money, their gold, their servants, everything. And she's saying, if it helps me to remember you, let this all happen all over again. Quite elevated. Haven't learned that one, that sloka yet. I'm not sure I want to use that one. But a very elevated position. That to remember Krishna, she thinks it's worth it to go through miseries. And sometimes people, when they join ISKCON, they say, yeah, if that hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't be here now. If I hadn't lost that job, if I hadn't... I had that broken relationship, then I wouldn't be here now. And then in the purport, Prabhupada's describing pure devotional service, he's quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which he presented to us as nectar of devotion. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna nu shilanam bhakti ruttama. So there's several characteristics of pure devotional service. One is that you're thinking about Krishna in a favorable way. So one of the items of devotional service is to remember Krishna. But Kamsa was also remembering Krishna all the time. He was always thinking of Krishna. How can I kill him? But that's not considered devotional service because he was not favorable. And then so it's without jnana and without karma, without fruitive activities and without mental speculations and all the rest. Like some people are interested in to get some mystic powers or something. Some, you know, these side effects, these side benefits. But pure devotional services without wanting any profit. I'm just doing it, Krishna, because I like you. I was in Mayapur one time and I had an apple I wanted to offer to Nityananda. So the pujari said, do you want it back? I said, no, it's just for him. Some people offer, but then they want to take it back. Offer it to make it into prasadam, and then take it back. So he said, do you want it back? No, no, just give to him. Or some people, they come to Radhadesha and they do a special puja to get special blessings for something or someone. They have some desire. It's not wrong, but it's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. It must be loved. Yeah. Well, these four categories of people are all pious. They're all pious. They're all doing devotional service. They're on the way. And we are also, most of us are not pure devotees yet. Somebody once asked me if I was a saint. I said, not yet. are you a saint? Not yet. So how we become purified is by getting the association of pure devotees. Because Prabhupada's a pure devotee, he could make so many other people into devotees. See this book, Bhagavad Gita, there are so many Bhagavad Gitas. But the other Bhagavad Gitas don't make millions of people into devotees. But Prabhupada even went to like the lowest people on the planet, the meat eaters, the drug addicts, and he even made them into devotees. Look what some of us were doing before we joined ISKCON. Where would we be now if we had never heard of ISKCON? Eating non-veg and drinking beer or something. Living together, not being married. But because Prabhupada was a pure devotee, he could explain everything properly. I had some tourists today and they were Buddhists. And I was a little bit shocked that they were not vegetarian. I thought that they would be vegetarian. I said, but aren't you worried about the karma? And they said, you can purify. We say a prayer for the animal. And I said, but you're also guilty of killing the animal. No, no, we don't kill it ourselves. Someone else kills it. I said, yes, but he does it because you want to. You're paying him to kill it. No, no, we do not give the order to kill the animal. So they're thinking then like this, that they're not guilty that the animal's dying. No, they don't do it themselves. They said everyone is responsible for their own action. I said, so the person who works in the slaughterhouse, he gets all the karma? I said, no, it doesn't work like that. He gets some, the person who cooks it gets some karma, and the person who eats it gets some karma. But they were thinking that, they live in some kind of monastery or some kind of group of Buddhists. So I said, well, do you cook for these people, vegetarian? No, we cook both. They can choose. They think it's called choice to offer both. But I said, okay, maybe in some country like Tibet, they don't have so much variety possible. You know, they maybe have to eat meat, but in Belgium there are so many nice things to eat. Why do you choose to eat meat? And all they could say, well, habit. I was a little bit shocked. I thought that Buddha was teaching ahimsa and then they would all be non-violent. Yes, but they said they were not violent, they didn't kill the animal. I was a little bit shocked. I thought that Buddha had taught them non-violence, that they wouldn't kill animals. So we have these... what was the point I was making? So because we met Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee, then we understood what is correct behavior. Then we can try and become pure devotees ourselves by putting Krishna in the center, doing devotional service, following these basic principles. Prabhupada said, you're not even human if you don't follow them. That there is just animal life if you don't. That's what he's saying. This is just the human platform to come to follow such principles as not killing the animals just because they taste nice. And then to engage in devotional service to Krishna without profit, without wanting something back. Okay, Krishna, I'll do this for you if you do that for me. I mean, secretly, we do have some, I mean, it's not that we're doing it out of pure devotional service. We do have some motives. Well, I would like to get out of the material world. I would like to go back to Godhead. I want people to think that I'm a nice devotee. We do have some motives, but they're at least better than what we were like before. So we can aspire to be pure devotees by associating with pure devotees like Prabhupada and his disciples and his books, and listening to his lectures and the lectures of his followers in the parampara. And Prabhupada's writing in the purport, some people, even by chance, that when they come in contact with a pure devotee, they become pure. There are examples in scriptures like the hunter, Agrari, the hunter. He met Narada Muni. Then he completely changed his opinion and his views and his habits and his whole life. It's not that he was looking to how can I become pure. He was actually engaged in really horrible activities, killing the animals, half killing the animals, and just leaving them to die. And then Narada Muni explained, you can't do this. He just got some small association with Narada Muni. And then because he understood, he stopped killing the animals and just depended on Krishna and became non-violent, became a devotee. So even if we do go to Krishna with material desires, please give me this, please give me that. Oh, do you know that joke? There was a man who wanted to be God. So there was a man who wanted to become God. It's just a story, it's not a true story. You can't become God. But for the story, there's the man, he says, I want to become God. And so he's doing so much penance and tapasya and so much praying and meditation, and then eventually God appears before him and says, please ask for a benediction. And so he says, I want to become God. And God says, okay, we'll swap places. You take my place and I'll take your place. And after 1 week, the man comes back and said, I don't want to be God anymore. And God says, why not? He says, the whole week all I'm hearing is, give me this, give me that. But anyway, even if we do go to Gopinath with material desires, just by Gopinath's association and the association of the devotees, we'll become purified. And it is bona fide to go to Krishna with material desires. It's not pure devotional service, but it is bona fide. If you have material desires, no need to go to a demigod, just ask Gopinath. Even if you want money, no need to go to Lakshmi Dev, just ask Gopinath. If he thinks it's right, good for you, he'll give. He'll arrange something. There's such poor people living in Radhadesh. They're constantly flying over the whole world. I don't know how they do it. If Gopinath thinks it's the right thing to do, he'll arrange everything. Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll have some kirtan. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.